Our Heavenly Father, we come to, as a group of people from disparate backgrounds and with different lives. We've all been on different journeys. We've all had different experiences. And we come to you with all sorts of different issues in our lives that we have to cope with and battle with and struggle with, think about. And we are so grateful that we come to a God who is big enough to know all these things and absorb them. And in spite of what things seem so big to us, they are minute to you. But we know that you know they are important to us. And we pray that as we meet together, we will hear your voice speaking through the teaching of your word. Lord, it's not man's voice we've come to you. We don't want to hear anything human beings have got to say, because it all leads astray and leads to death. It's what you've got to say that leads to life. So will you please bless us, help us, and as we talk about things, give us light for our problems, difficulties, heartaches, for the challenges we face. We pray that we may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. The word condemnation means what it means in a courtroom. You are condemned because you've killed somebody, or you've harmed somebody, or robbed somebody. But there now there's no condemnation. You're not going to be punished anymore. Those of us who have come to the Lord Jesus for our sins against God. There's no condemnation, but it's only for those who are in Christ Jesus, are put into him, and he's in us. And you say, what does that mean? And I have to tell you, I can't explain it to you. Because it's one of those spiritual concepts which is mystical. You can't explain it. It is just a wonderful thing. There is just a little illustration that can be used, and that is when you get married. You know, the Bible teaches us that when we get married, we become one flesh. The first wedding service, and that's in Genesis chapter 2, when God created Eve. And it is with that picture in mind that in Genesis 1, it tells us that God woke Adam up, and then he brought her to Adam. And when he saw Eve, this is the first other human being Adam has ever seen. When he saw the woman, he said, wow. Now, of course, he didn't use the word, but he said, bone of my bones. That's what he said. Flesh of my flesh. You shall be called woman. And so God brings the woman and the man together. Now, when he brings the woman and the man together, he brings them together in a way in which it is described as one flesh. There's two people, two flesh, if you like, or two units of flesh, and he brings them together so that when they engage in the conjugal act, they become, in a mystical way, one. And for those who've had happy and wonderful marriages, you will know what that means. You can't explain it. You can't put it into words. But it's glorious, and it's one. Now, what the Bible teaches us is that when we become Christians, we become one in Christ, and Christ becomes one with us. He is the great eternal bridegroom, and all the Christians in the world, men and women, from all the centuries who truly believed in him, are his bride. It's all metaphysical. It's all just meant to be allegorical so you can understand it, you see? It's meant to be like, just like an example. And one day in heaven, in its glories, we will be described as we will be seen as the bride of Christ, and he will be the great bridegroom. And that's the way it is described, so that we can have an understanding that once we come to Jesus, we are in the safest place possible. It's when you play the fool with Jesus that you get into danger. When you say, yes, I'm a Christian, and then next week, no, I'm not a Christian anymore, or yes, I'm a Christian, or then you meet a girl who's not a Christian, or a guy is not a Christian, and then that goes by the board, or when some trouble happens in the family, and if God loved me, he wouldn't let that happen, and we let go, we begin to drift. That's when we run into all kinds of depression and problems. No. The Lord Jesus Christ is in us. And whatever happens to us, happens to him. And whatever happens to him, happens to us. And the Lord Jesus is filled with glory. So we are filled with glory, even though we don't feel like it. We don't feel like we're filled with glory. But that glory that we can't feel now will be seen one day when we are in heaven. All the glory of Christ will burst forth, and we will be the people that we ought to be. So this is what it means when it talks about us being in Christ Jesus. Because, says in verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. But you'll see that our title is Two Spiritual Laws. And you can see the two spiritual laws in verse 2. And verse 2 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, there's the one law, the law of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. There's the second law. Now, my friends, every human being in this world is living under one of those two laws. When we are born into this world, we are born to live under the law of sin and death, because the world is under the judgment of God because of our rebellion against God through Adam and Eve. And so our world is not a perfect world. It's a sad world. When you wake up in the morning, you may feel okay. If you've got a new baby and you feel happy, you feel okay. Or if you've got a birthday coming up, you may feel okay. But after the okay feelings have passed and reality sets in, you will know that once again, when you turn on your television or whatever device you use, you will read about Israel, you'll read about Russia, you'll read about China, you'll read about the dismantling of all the old democracies, you'll read about all these things, and you'll say, what's our future? Because we live in a world that is under the curse of God, and God himself is going to reverse that curse. So there's a world, there is the law of sin and death, and the law of the Spirit of life that sets me free from the law of sin and death. And that's all in verse 2. Now, let me just comment quickly about these two spiritual laws. Now, what does it mean when the Bible says that we live under the law of sin and death? Well, the word law means a great principle, a great controlling factor in our lives. We all live like that. Every country lives like that. Every human being lives like that. When you get married, you change from living under the law of singleness to the law of marriage. You see, we know people that often don't keep their vows, but that's the way it's meant to be. You change your status. So if you're a girl and some guy comes up to you and he says, look, I'd like to take you out, you've got a ring in your finger to show that you no longer belong to the status of single people. Or if you're a guy and a girl comes on to you, you're able to show her the ring that your status is no longer one of singleness. You've changed your status, and your status is now one of marriage. So you live under the law of marriage, or you live under the law of singleness, one of the two. So now when the Bible talks about the law of sin and death, it means that something has happened to us that puts us under the law, which gives us no hope. See, the law, the principle that governs life, the laws that govern the universe, are all laws that finally lead to despair and lead to death. Even some of your scientists will tell you there's no hope, and people now talking about AI, will tell you that many scientists believe that AI will lead to the eradication of the human race. You've read that. You know that yourself. All bad news, right? And that's why we Christians have got good news. Because the world is full of bad news. And unless we are willing to accept the bad news, we'll never believe the good news. What's the point of me coming to you with good news if you don't know what the bad news is? So we come to you with good news that God has changed the whole status of everything in the universe. But until that happens, until we ourselves embrace what God has done, we live under the law of sin and death. It's a very, very important phrase. We live in a world where there is no hope. It's a world of darkness. That doesn't mean to say that we don't have moments of happiness or moments of light or moments or periods of time when life is better. But generally speaking, at the end of it all, there is no real hope for the future. That's the law of sin and death. It's sin. It's what we do. Sin means things that we do in life. And the consequence of what we do as sinners is death. God said the wages of sin is death. And so, death is the one word that describes perfectly the present condition of our cosmos, of our human being. Everything is dying. Stars are dying. Human beings are dying. Oceans are dying. Rivers are dying. There are lots of good things happening as well, because God is merciful and he makes the world possible, in spite of all of his bad things, for human beings to live in until he has finished with it and he will come and draw things to a close. But you will know, marriages, we make promises and then the next thing we know, we're caught up in a terrible marriage, we can't get out of it, and the marriage is full of death. Can you see what I mean? So we live under the law of sin and death. That's a principle. It's a kind of a principle under which we live. Then Paul talks about this. He says, we are in Christ Jesus because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what does it mean when he talks about the law of the Spirit of life? This is the second law. The first law is the law of sin and death. But what Paul is saying is this. When you became a Christian, when you were not a Christian, you lived under the law of sin and death. But then God brought you to himself. Who knows how? Maybe God just worked in your heart and drew you. Maybe God caused you to listen to a preacher or to read a book or talk to a friend or whatever. And you suddenly saw that there's more to life and that that more is found in Jesus. And so you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you came to the Lord Jesus, even though you didn't realize it at that time, you were entering into the more of life. That God has given you more than you could ever have thought possible at that time. And so he says, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, Adam, what does that mean? Well, when you become a Christian, you transition from darkness to light. God takes you from the country of darkness and he puts you into the country of light. He takes you from the world of darkness and he puts you into the world of light. He takes you from the world of condemnation and judgment and he puts you into the world where you are no longer condemned and you have a hope for the future. Now, how does that happen? God doesn't reach down with great gigantic hands and lift us up and move us. No, but through his word, God works by his Spirit in our hearts. And while we are living our own lives, we're just living our own lives in the country of darkness. And one day, when we become a Christian, we discover that we've entered the country of light. We don't want to do those things anymore. We don't want to get involved in the stuff that people get involved in out there. And they're pressurizing us to do all the time. We don't want to buy into the values that we see presented to us on the screens and magazines and on the media and all that. we can see that that is all darkness. I mean, you tell me one cop and robber film that you have seen, or one mafia movie that you have watched, where the leading mafia guy, the leading bad guy, does not live his life looking over his shoulder. He's always got to have 6 bodyguards. Imagine living like that, where he's got bodyguards around him all the time, because he's too afraid to go even to a restaurant to dinner in case somebody assassinates him. Who wants to live like that? That's the world of darkness, you see? Or I can give you a multitude of illustrations of what it means to live in the world of darkness. But when you meet the Lord Jesus, the grace of God overwhelms you. And in his might and his love and concern for you because of what Jesus did on the cross, and you embrace that, God says, because you believed what my son did on the cross, I lift you out of darkness and I put you into light. That doesn't mean I put you into a land where there's no cancer, or I put you into a land where there's no heart attacks, or I put you into a land where there's no respiratory problems, or I put you into a land where there's no difficulties, or where relationships always work out, a land of complete happiness. No. I'm lifting you out of the spiritual darkness that holds you, so that when someone speaks to you in a bad way, the law of sin and death says, shout at him, speak back at him, swear at him, curse him or her. That's the law of sin and death, you see. No, God says you're still living in the same world, but now you're living in a different sphere. And one day, the truth of this heavenly sphere is going to become real and material, and we're going to live in a new world where there will be no more tears. So the spirit of life is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, taking the life of God and the life of the Lord Jesus, the life of the whole Trinity, which the Lord Jesus Christ made possible by his death on the cross for us, and saying to you, as a poor, miserable, unknown little sinner that nobody seems to care about, saying, guess what? The whole life of the Trinity is yours for all eternity, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh boy, does that mean I'm going to get a husband or a wife or a bonus or whatever? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that you will have a hope that goes beyond husbands, wives, children, bonuses, and all these other things that people yearn for. You'll have something else to look forward to. You'll have a hope that no one else can give you. Now, that is what the Bible means when it talks about the law of the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life, and he brings with him the law, the principle under which, when we become Christians, we now live. When you weren't a Christian, you lived under the law, or the principle of sin and death. It was all negative and dark. But when you become a Christian, you're lifted out of that, and you are brought by the Holy Spirit into a life where you live by a new law, so that if someone shouts at you or speaks badly to you and you're tempted to talk back to them or to hit back or smack back or whatever the case is, now something else is controlling you and you say, hey, wait, I can't talk like that. I'm not that person anymore. I can't act like that. I can't do that anymore. It's not because I'm not able to. It's not because I'm not able to take a baseball bat and bash your windscreen in. No, I'm quite capable of doing that. But I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to be a different person. I don't know if you saw on the internet last week the terrible case of road rage that took place in the Philippines, where a car full of young people, a young husband, his young wife, 6 months pregnant with their little girl, I think it was, and a couple of his friends were driving somewhere in a motor car. There was something happened on the road, and a guy got out of his car, took a shotgun, and you know where he shoots into the back seat where the young mother was sitting. And of all the people in the car, the young mother and her baby are killed. Now that is the spirit of sin and darkness. That is the spirit of sin. That is the spirit of death. Do you see? It's when you are so under the control of your rage and you're feeling that you should be entitled to this and that. And how dare anybody else cut in front of you? And how dare anybody else cut into your space? You are a kind of a king or a queen, and you rule your space and don't let anybody come and take anything from you. And you live with this self-centeredness which makes you miserable and makes you completely and absolutely out of control when the devil gets hold of you and you can no longer contain the world of darkness. So you take out your gun and you shoot into the back seat, and the next thing you know, you've caused a major, major disaster. Spirit of death. But how wonderful that we have a Savior who comes to us, and the Bible says that therefore there is now no condemnation. You know, we used to be like that. Maybe we were engaged in fighting and brawling or road rages or screaming at each other or whatever the case is. We used to be like that. But now when we've become Christians, now God, who is the great judge of the world, puts us before his law court and he says, now that my son has paid the price for your sins, you're free. You're acquitted. You're acquitted. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. You can't be closer to him. It's not like he's sitting next to you on the couch. You're closer than that. You are closer to him than it's possible to be. He's in you. He owns you. And you are in him. And you are this new creature. And what has happened because you're this new creature? The law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of life, has taken you and freed you from the old laws that used to bind you and the old principles that used to bind you. And he's freed you from that, and he's put you into Christ so that you are now free from the law of sin and death. You are no longer bound to live like you used to live because you are now a new person in Christ Jesus. There are so many people who do not understand the Christian life and do not understand that, you know, people have said this to me and to my wife and to other friends that I've known. Oh, it's not possible for you to be so good. You know, because we don't drink or we don't want to take part in their wild parties or whatever the case may be. You think you're so good. You think you're better than us. That's not that at all. It's the spirit of darkness in them that is twisting what is happening in us so that they can be excused. You see? No, that's not that at all. It's the glory of a wonderful Savior who went to the cross for us, and all that he accomplished there is now taken by the Holy Spirit. And when we come to faith in Christ, he gives it to us. And he says, now you've got a new nature. You're out of that realm, you're in a new realm. You're out of that kingdom, you're in a new kingdom. You're out from under the rule of that king, you're under the rule of a new king. And now, the law of the Spirit of life controls you. It's the exact opposite of the law of sin and death. You've changed your position. You're no longer single, you're married. See? It's changed your entire situation. And you're no longer under that old law obligation to prove yourself and be the big guy and stand up for yourself or the big girl and to prove how you can look after yourself in the world. No, there's a new principle, a new power that's ruling you. It's ruling you. And that power is the power of liberty, to be able to say no to what is wrong. And we don't always have that power, you see. So this is one of the results of being in Christ, having the life of Christ in us. And how does that life of Christ come into us? By the Holy Spirit who now lives in us. And so we need to understand that the Christian life can be explained if we think of these two rules: living under the law of spirit of sin and death, or living under the law of the spirit of life. And all of us who come into the world live under one or the other. We are all born under the spirit of sin and death, but whether we end like that is another story. And that depends on what we do when we come up against Jesus and his cross. I want you to know that I'm deliberately repeating myself in different ways about some of these different concepts, because I know that not everybody has had the privilege of having these things taught to them from childhood. And I hope that you'll find it helpful and that you'll ask the questions that are on your heart. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you that these things are true for all Christians. They're not true for all people. Lord, we can think of whole countries who are under the sway of a religion of darkness, where they live with fear from morning till night because of evil spirits or evil influences or authoritarianism. And there's no freedom, no freedom at all. And there's nothing to believe in. And here we are, able to open your word together in a home like this and to learn about the law of sin and death, which used to hold us and which holds most of the world in its sway, and the law of the spirit of life, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we may always, always choose to live by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, to be in him, to love him, to follow him, to serve him. And we pray that you'll give us the strength to be a help and a light to others, for Jesus' sake. Amen.